Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't love junior mints. I just don't hate them. I don't understand why they are treated like second-class candy.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Oh, there's a, you there's don't a understand why a candy that is basically toothpaste wrapped up in stale chocolate is treated like a second-class candy. All right, I get it. It's a good, valid question.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Is there a time to change? You know, the three teams I've drafted this year, second-class candy is pretty good.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy to have you with us here, rolling through a Monday. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope has the day off today. Zach Jones at the controls, as always. Happy to welcome back in to the show on the West Hur Hotline our buddy Matt Perino, Bills beat reporter for Syracuse.com and co-host of the wonderful Shout podcast. Matt, I'm glad that we got you in. I know it gets to be a busy time this time of the year with Little League, so I'm glad we are we on the front end of that here.
Oh, yes, we're definitely on the front end, although we did kick things off over the weekend. We're full steam ahead. I think we got, four nights this week on the schedule. So it's a great time, though. Summer in Buffalo, and there's no better season anywhere, in my opinion. And it's going to be a nice summer, I think.
Yeah, awesome. Love it. Yeah, I know my kids came through the Hurdle North Park Youth Baseball League at Shoshone, and this past Saturday, was parade day. And that is always a great scene. I don't know, you're with Amherst Little League, I'm guessing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Amherst Little League.
The Hurdle, they start like down by St. Margaret's Church, which is up near Colvin, and march down to the park. And we did it when the boys were playing. It's such a cool scene, such a great scene that Saturday morning with the parade. So a lot of that to take in. Well, lucky for us, the Bills made a move on Friday. So I'm thinking if we had talked to you last Monday after the draft and talked about how you think they're done, is the roster complete, and then here comes Chase Claypool and a couple of other players as well as we're getting into the weekend. Do we think they're done now, Matt? Like, where are you on the Bills roster construct as this offseason starts to really pick up?
I don't think they're done. I think they're at somewhere around, 87. I'm actually waiting. Sal does that doc that he puts out, and I follow that regularly. But I counted it up after the Claypool signing, and I think they're at 87 because the kid they took in the seventh round is in the international program, so he won't count against the roster. I don't think they're done. I mean, I think they're going to tweak this thing throughout the summer as things make sense. Now, there's not a lot of exciting names out there. You mentioned Chase Claypool. They bring in Dwayne Smoot, who I think from them, from their perspective, is a dice roll at edge rusher, which we did a podcast last week, Ryan and I, and we ranked the position groups in terms of like the most concerning. We asked the fans what they were thinking, mm-hmm. and a lot of fan groups said wide receiver, but I think I'm on edge rusher because you don't know what you're getting from Von Miller. Greg Rousseau hasn't really showed yet that he can kind of carry the load as a pass rusher. We know what he is as a run defender. AJ Epenesa, good at times, flashes at times. And then beyond the three of them, it's a lot of I don't know. And, mm-hmm. and if you're relying on Javon Solomon, a fifth-round draft pick, to come in here and win a significant role, I have questions about that. And Smoot, was really good 2 years ago before he had the Achilles. He wasn't very good last year, but again, he's coming off of that injury. A lot of people say you need a whole season to kind of get back to form. So I think the Bills are kind of like a latent free agency dart throw here. He's not Leonard Floyd. He's not going to bring you 10-plus sacks. He's never had more than 7 in a season. But I think he can bring some interesting production and at least add somebody that's done it in the league, former third-round pick.
Matt Perino from the Shout Podcast and Syracuse.com on the West Hur Hotline with us here on WGR. So, receiver, and let's start at the end here. Claypool's the most recent addition, and I don't know. This might be the least McDermott-Billsy signing they've made since McDermott's been here, because Claypool, his career is checkered with questionable attitude. He seems more like a guy who... I don't know, some of his behavior reminds you of a guy who catches 100 passes a year, except he's never caught 100 passes in a year, but he just got this, you know, like, oh, you know, I should be the center of the offense type of thing. Like, it's possible he's matured. He's still a pretty young guy. With that said, what did you make of Chase Claypool? Would it surprise anyone if he didn't even make it out of the summer with this team?
It wouldn't, and that's why I think I like the move more than anything is this. This is a guy you're giving an opportunity that, you know, maybe they're dwindling. Like, I don't know how many more he's going to get. You're not going to be on the hook for a lot of money. I imagine it's a vet minimum. The numbers haven't come out yet. But I like this move a lot. It's funny because this is – I can't remember a guy added this late in free agency that has caused this much of a stir, especially, like, early summer – late spring, Friday afternoon, and man, was X buzzing the other day about this move. And it's you're right, it doesn't feel very Sean McDermott-like, but I've made an argument over the last couple of years, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this. It's like so many people think that building the culture is about the people that you bring in and then staying on that course, like only bringing in a certain type of person, where I've kind of pushed back on that. I think over time, the culture is the culture, and you bring in people that maybe don't fit it, but because of your culture have the chance to maybe change how that person been within that improvement in culture. And I think if you look at Chase Claypool, I mean, go back to that wide receiver room in Pittsburgh when Juju Smith-Schuster was the vet leading that room, taking them all out to the 50-yard line and playing those TikTok videos or filming those TikTok videos. Of course he kind of went off the straight and narrow. The guy had no veteran leadership in his room. It kind of goes south. Big Ben in that second season in 2021 was horrible. I mean, we couldn't get to the end of that season fast enough before it's like, Ben, retire. Nobody wants to see you do this anymore. And so he didn't have a very good quarterback. Then he goes to Chicago. Didn't have a very good quarterback. Then went to Miami late in the year, never found a role. I'm not going to judge him too much on not picking that thing up or finding a role too soon. This is a chance for a former second-round pick who the Bills did their work on in the draft years ago. I remember talking to a couple people in league circles that said the Bills were very high on Claypool. They probably think, all right, we liked him back then. We get him into our system. There's an opportunity here. And if you give a guy an opportunity who has none left, and you kind of that gratefulness comes out and they're willing to kind of go, you know, to the wall for you, that's worth a chance. And for as many people that are so high on the KJ Hamler dart throw, I'm surprised that there's so many people that are against the Claypool dart throw, because Claypool at least has had a year of like significant production versus Hamler, who hey, he played 13 years, had like 400 yards and 3 touchdowns in one season that he's played.
Yeah, it's really because you say Chase Claypool, and I think even casual fans go, oh, yeah, that's the guy that's like, you know, get me the ball, or, you know, I deserve more or whatever. He's just, you know, everybody's got an opinion about him, and it's mostly negative. So I think that's definitely where that comes from. I like your premise a lot about the culture and being able to, you know, sort of walk out on the thinner ice a bit because you feel like you've got a stable situation. The thing that makes it a little tricky this year is that they're in the midst of kind of an overhaul here in that department, right? No Hyde, we presume no Hyde, we'll see for sure, but no Poyer, no Tre'Davious White, no Mitch Morse, no Diggs to lead that receiver room. There's a lot of turnover, but the premise I think is sound, like especially when you factor in that it won't cost much, and if he doesn't fit in, they'll just send him away, I would assume.
Yeah, without a doubt. Like, he's not going to get a very long leash here. If you get him in the building and you're not vibing with him, it will just take 1 minute for them to cut him and bring somebody else off the street. They've done that in training camp, before training camp, in preseason, many times in the past. And I think my guess is, and we haven't gotten a chance to talk to Brandon since the move, and I'm very interested to hear what he'll say about this when the next time we get to talk to him. It might not be till training camp, actually, but just what were these conversations like? Because they do their due diligence in getting a feel for the guy, and for them to kind of offer him a contract, you think that he would have passed the smell test for, you know, what he's walking in here and bringing into a room, to your point, that I don't think that they'd be very comfortable throwing in a funky apple into the mix here, because they got new players. They have young players in Keon Coleman. Khalil Shakir's in year 3, and I know that they think he's a young, developing leader. But you throw a wrench in all of this, and Chase Claypool, you know, brings any kind of weird energy, especially if he does well early, and then later in the season that kind of stuff comes up. I think they're betting on their culture. Right. I think they're betting on their culture more than anything.
Yeah, I mean, Curtis Samuel's the senior member of the room, and he just got here. You know, like, that's it. After that, it's Shakir, which is kind of crazy how much turnover there's been there. With all that said, Matt, I think, circling back to what you were referring to about how annoyed a lot of the fan base seemed to be on social media on Friday when the Claypool signing was announced, it's probably some byproduct of the wide receiver train not being as full as a lot of people wanted it, right? I mean, I don't remember when we last spoke, but the Diggs move, to me, I was sure as I've been about anything with Brandon Bean, that there's another corresponding move. He is going to do something. And instead, he just waited for the draft and even traded back twice and pulled Keon Coleman into the boat. And there's no established replacement for Diggs and Davis leaving. Then here comes Chase Claypool. And I think, you know, maybe a lot of fans are, you think you're replacing Diggs with Chase Claypool? And, like, of course, those things don't have to be connected. But circumstantially, it looks, you know, he's even going to wear the same number. So, like, that probably didn't help.
Definitely didn't. But I think the approach over the last month, to me, has made it crystal clear to me what they think of Dalton Kincaid. Because if you go out and bring in, say you trade up for a Rome Odunze, or you trade up for even a Brian Thomas Jr., you're trading up for that guy. You're spending a lot of critical assets, and you're going to have to feature that player in your offense. And to me, I don't know if that's a healthy way to run an offense, or at least a successful offense in 2024. I mean, we talked about this a couple weeks ago when I was on. Like, you see all these examples across the league where teams are relying on just a bunch of young players, no real superstars, where you're playing $30 million. Because once you get to that kind of caliber receiver, you know, there's other things that come along with the job. There's the role. Like, where you're demanding the ball, you're demanding the targets. Stephon Diggs ended up in Buffalo because he was mad that he wasn't getting involved enough in the offense. And to add another player like that and potentially take away from how much you potentially want to feature your first round, let me remind everybody, your first round tight end investment from a year ago, I think they like surrounding Kincaid with a bunch of different skill sets at wide receiver. And then let's see what he looks like maybe in a larger role. And this is all part of it pairs perfectly with a financial reset where you have to get the salary cap in order. And then next offseason, if it doesn't work as you think it's going to, you have enough capital to be aggressive in free agency, in the draft, if that's where you see the value, and go out and get weapons to add in the way that you want. Now that Joe Brady is going to be entrenched in the job, and, you know, you have Dalton Kincaid, you have all these other players, you go after it maybe next offseason. And I know a lot of fans don't want to hear that because you're in the middle of Josh Allen's prime, and it almost feels in a lot of ways like you might be wasting that if you're not going all in every year.
I know. I've been wrestling with that all offseason, Matt, because on one hand, I totally feel that way. Like, Josh Allen is not going to be this young ever again. And at some point here, I mean, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but at some point, he is going to hit some sort of an athletic wall, you know, like somewhere here. I'm anticipating him playing quarterback for many years after he stops being a guy who leaps over tall buildings in a single bound is all I'm saying, right? He's going to slow down at some point. And so, you know, you don't want to take a year where you even hint at hitting the pause button, but at the same time, the reality of the situation is guys aged out. You had some bad contracts, Diggs included, the Von Miller contract. You got to dig yourself out sometime. So, I mean, on one hand, I was trade everything you need to trade to go get Odunze. On the other hand, I understand the reality of the situation. It's just tough to take, you know, a year where you could be, if you are hitting pause. So all that said, let me ask you, like, are you thinking that Kincaid will be like the target share leader and receptions leader on this team?
Yes. I think he'll lead the team in receptions, receiving yards, maybe not touchdowns, because I actually talking about like bold predictions on one of the shows last week too. I think Keon Coleman could take a run at the touchdown record, at least the rookie touchdown record. I think it was Lee Evans. I got to go back and look at the number now, but I like him as a red zone threat almost more than anything else. I feel like that's where his skill set is going to shine. And, you know, where I think Dalton Kincaid can be a weapon in the red zone too, in his own way. We saw it last year at times. Coleman is just this, like, above the rim, jump ball artist at the catch point. So I think you're going to want to see him in a bunch of those different situations, especially early in the season. The Bills moved the ball last year so well. I mean, they had long plodding drives, and sometimes it just felt like, you know, at times they were looking for somebody that is exactly what Keon Coleman brings to the table. And I think that, you know, they've made, I mean, Brandon Bean has not hit it. He's gone out there and brought in three straight guys that have the exact same size profile in Mack Hollins,
Coleman and Claypool. Yeah.
Coleman and Claypool. Even the other kid from Detroit, the kid that got suspended for gambling.
Cephas, yeah. He's Gambler, a little smaller, but yeah, bigger than some of their other guys. And shorter. Let's not leave him out of the conversation, too.
Oh, I will get absolutely run on social media if I don't mention Justin Shorter. So thank you for doing that. The Hive is a buzzing as we speak because everybody is ready for the summer of Shorter. I think it's the summer of Shorter on deck, right?
I'm assuming all fan bases are like this, right? There's like latch on to a guy who they see with no shirt on in a picture and be like, oh man, that guy's gonna murder, right? Like that happens everywhere. I hope it's not just us, right?
To a degree, but not like here. But that's what's endearing about it. Like I love the fact that in the middle of June, I'll get an angry DM or tweet about the fact that, you know, I wrote a story about the wide receivers and I didn't talk about Justin Shorter, a fifth round draft pick from last season, enough in that story. Hasn't played a single snap in the NFL yet. But listen, I like Justin Shorter. Like, I know we joke about it.
Me too. Sure. Yeah. But, like, projecting or guessing about him being, I just got a feeling. Like, okay, I'm glad you have a feeling. I hope it works. You know, they could definitely use a guy that to hit from the fifth round, and we've seen fifth. I mean, Shakir was a fifth round pick. Diggs is a fifth round pick. So it's not like far fetched. It's just. I feel like there's always a rush to it. Is all I'm really pointing out, which is, I don't know, maybe not that novel a concept. Other draft picks I wanted to ask you about. We're gonna run out of time here pretty fast, Matt. I like the Bishop pick a lot. Like I feel like I know I talk to Sal all the time and he'll make the point about veterans in the safety positions with this team. It's what they've had since really McDermott and Bean got here. They acquired Hyde and Poyer, first two free agents, and there are bookends there for all these years. Man, I think Bishop's profile reads real, real nice.
Oh, I like the Bishop pick a lot. I mean, if you think about it, like Brian Thomas Jr., of course, trade-ups for the top receivers, A.D. Mitchell. When we're talking about mock drafts, all those guys led the way in mock drafts. But if you did like a day two, like top of the target list, I think Cole Bishop was definitely in the mix. I saw him in mock drafts every single day, whether it be in round two, round three, and the Bills got aggressive with it. They picked him maybe a little bit earlier than a lot of experts thought, but they wanted this guy so bad that they were talking about trading up for him. So that, to me, is the piece of this that goes into the evaluation where I don't know everything about these young players. I'm going to learn about them over the next couple of months. I'm going to cover them. I'm going to get a chance to talk to them. But to me, when the Bills in the past have been this bullish on a player, that's what's cause for excitement. And, you mentioned the point about Sal, and I agree with them. And it's why I didn't have the Bills going safety in the first three rounds. But the more I thought about it, the more I'm thinking they've changed their defense. They play this dime look so much now that it's now about finding value and adding numbers, because they're going to need whether it's a second starting safety, depending on who is the first, whether it's that third safety that Taylor Rapp played at the end of last season, which he got a lot of snaps. It's a very important role. Bishop, to me, at the least, baseline, is that third safety that you can kind of use as a little bit of a chess piece, a little bit more of a blitzer, maybe somebody that operates a little bit more around the line of scrimmage. But, yeah, he seems like a guy that – and plus he got the Dalton Kincaid stamp of approval. You know they like to work their back channels with their people. I like the Bishop pick a lot.
One last thing for you. Anybody from the rest of it that you want to get a mention in on? My favorite of the rest of it is the center from Georgia. I feel like a guy that played that much football in that league on that team is someone that I don't expect him to step in and start now, but I feel like as soon as next year, that maybe is a new starter for the Bills.
No, I think I totally agree with you. Just because you mentioned Mo, I will go a little bit off the beaten path. I love the pick in the seventh round of this Travis Clayton kid. And I like it so much because there's no expectation for him, right? Like when you come in the pathway program, you know, even with Christian Wade, we saw the height of the pathway program with Wade. You know, Bills fans, like you mentioned, they really, you know, get into the preseason and the lead up to the season. And there was Wade mania for a while. This dude has a chance to be like a legitimate bona fide future star. I mean, you think about like a Jordan Mailata. Like, could you imagine if the Bills somehow in their throwaway seventh round pick found the next like all pro big time left or right tackle in the league? Now, he's very unproven. I'm not trying to take us all the way to that point. But everybody that watched his workout, I mean, from Daniel Jeremiah to Lance Zierlein, they literally are raving about this guy, and they're raving about him so much because and the Bills were so high on him that they used a draft pick to get him instead of waiting until after the draft and trying to take their chances in signing him. I really like the work that they've done on the offensive line, and they got a plan for something. Spencer Brown, I like him a lot, but he might be on the verge of making like $13 to $17 million dollars a year if he has a big season. So this is all this offseason as a whole, planning for the future, one step ahead. Brandon Bean's got to be at that point with Josh Allen making what he's making.
Excellent job, Matt. As always, love the time and look forward to connecting with you again as we get into the summer.
All right, buddy. Take care. Have a great summer.
All right. That is Matt Perino, co-host of the Shout Podcast and Syracuse.com on the Bills beat. 803-0550 is the number. You want to spin off of anything that we were talking about there with Matt regarding the Bills, the receiver room, Chase Claypool. I mean, that happened on a Friday. If you haven't had a chance to get your opinion on that out there, want to dig into that, that's totally cool by me at 803-0550. If you want to circle back to the very beginning of the show, spent the first hour on the Bandits. If you got anything to say about the experience of being in there yesterday afternoon into the early evening for the win, the big comeback over Toronto to get them into the finals for a 13th time in a fourth consecutive season. Love to hear from you. I'm trying my best. It's not always been an area at all to say it lightly that I've paid a lot of attention to, but the light's going on for me. I see you, I feel you, I hear you, Bandit Land, and it's awesome. And so you want to just talk about this series coming up here a week from Friday with Albany or anything that's gone on this year, just the whole vibe of the scene there. Totally welcome. Lines are available at 803-0550. All right, Bills or Bandits. We'll get some hockey on the board as we move into the back half of today's show. Adam Kimmelman from NHL.com will be with me at 5, Paul Hamilton at 6. Mike is off today, along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog, and you are listening to WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.